Before she became an autism advocate and mom of four, Shaletta Brundage was an Emmy Award-winning comedian. Need something to put a smile in your face? Laughing with Letta is sure to tickle your funny bone. Check it out. But pee first and make sure you ain't drinking nothing when Shaletta's on a roll. That way you won't have anything to clean up when the podcast is over.
You're listening to the Laughing with Letta podcast, but I tell you what, ain't nothing funny about what happened to me and what's happening to women of color all over this country when they go into emergency rooms seeking care. This Saturday, I went to a hospital in Woodbury, Minnesota, near my home in Cottage Grove, and they treated me like I was on food stamps, y'all. I mean, I went in there. I've been in pain all week. You know, we sisters, we work through the pain. We take care of the kids through the pain. We take care of the husbands through the pain. We take care of our father-in-law through the pain. We take care of the church through the pain. We work through pain. It's just what we do. But I woke up Saturday morning and it felt like I had rubber bands on my fingers, like my fingertips were numb. My legs were heavy and numb. I was in pain. It took all the effort I had to get to the restroom, and then my face started tingling. And then my lips started quivering, and I thought, uh-oh, I better get to the hospital. Went to the emergency room, and I can't believe how I was treated. And I have to call my sister in, Darcia Handy, host of the Life After Loss podcast, because she is a registered nurse by trade. She has been in healthcare all of her life. That's all she's done. Sis, thank you so much for coming on the show this week. I know we enjoy laughing and we like to have a good time, but I really need your help in next steps.
Thank you so much for having me. I was so disappointed to find out the way that you were treated in that hospital today. You know, throughout my career, I have been focused on eliminating health disparities in the minority communities because this is not something new. Black women have continued to go through this, and this is just horrible with the way you were treated today. It's unacceptable.
Okay, let's let everybody know what happened. And the reason that I did call you was because of your history of advocacy for women of color in healthcare, not just in the hospital system, but also on the front line, on the hiring, on the representation. No matter where it is in healthcare, you're there. And right. You were the first person I wanted to call to tell this to. So we've got to let our podcast listening audience know what happened. So I get there, I'm in pain. There's nobody else in the ER. I go in and I'm telling the intake nurse, hey, you know, I've got this pain. My lips are quivering. My face is numb. My legs hurt. It's hard to walk. Lips are tingling. You know, what's going on? So the doctor rushes out and says, don't code her. Just bring her on back. So they bring me back. Nobody ever asked me about my 3 C-sections, my troubled pregnancies. Nobody ever asked me about my fibroid tumors. Nobody ever asked me about my thyroidectomy that I had completely removed. Okay? They never talked to me about my health history. They put me in the bed, and the next thing I knew, I was being whisked off to take an MRI. Mm. They did the MRI. They brought me back in the room, and he said, okay, well, your brain looks good. Your nerves look good. It doesn't look like there's anything going on funny up there. I'm going to send you to a neurologist. I said, well, how are my thyroid levels? And this is the doctor. He said, huh? I said, what about my thyroid levels? Did you check those? Well, no. I said, well, did the nurse tell you? Because I told her that I had a complete thyroidectomy. I want to make sure there's nothing going on with my fibroid tumors because they've been trouble for me in the past, mm-hmm. and they're really big. And I had to have 3 C-sections in 2 years. I didn't know if those were acting up. He was like, oh, you had C-sections. This is after the MRI, after he's done the blood work. I said, well, what kind of blood work did you do? He said, oh, we did a workup and everything came back looking just fine. I said, but you didn't check the thyroid levels. He said, well, you know, you can just follow up with your doctor. I said, but I'm here now. I'm here now. Can you do something right now? And so I called my husband because it was really early in the morning. I didn't want to wake you. And he said, tell them to add the test on, you know, gave me the exact thing to say. And I said, well, let's add on a test, add this test on. And he said, okay, well, I'll add that test on. It'll be in a couple of days. I'm going to give you these muscle relaxers and the nurse will be in and she'll have your prescription. And I said, you know, at that point I stopped fighting for myself because I realized that he did not care.
That's right.
Oh. That he had no care or concern about me. And then I remembered all these stories that I've read about black women who go to the emergency room looking for help. And then there's nobody there to help them. And then they leave and then they drop dead.
Yeah.
Or they have some kind of life-threatening illness that nobody caught. And I thought, this is happening to me. I got real folk insurance. I'm not on medical assistance. I'm not a welfare mother. I am. I have a husband and four children and a business. And I pay good money for this insurance. And I come in here looking for your help. And you brush me off like I'm street trash. And so at that point, I told my husband, I said, I'm not going to fight this man because he doesn't care. And there's no way you can make somebody care about you. I'm going to pray that I make it to my next doctor's appointment, whenever that is. And I'm going to just get the papers from the nurse. So I get off the phone with my husband. I put my clothes on. Says the nurse comes in and she says, man, your white blood count cells are really low. And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, the white blood cell count. Did the doctor talk to you about your white blood cell count? I said, no. What does that mean if my white blood cell counts are low? Can you print my labs out for me so I can see? And she said, well, you know what? You'll just don't worry about it. It's online. I said, I don't want it online. I want it printed out so I can go home and look at it with my husband. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, okay. So she goes out. She prints the stuff. Sis, she comes back. She gives it to me. She's highlighted it. She says, yeah, it's supposed to be between 4 and 11, and yours is a 3.3. And I said, okay, so is that good or bad? Does that mean something? Her exact words to me were, you can go home and Google it. It could mean a lot of things. I got in my car. You know I don't cry. Because, you know, in my family, our motto is happiness is a choice. I got in my car, and I almost cried. And that's when I realized that the whole time I was there, nobody ever touched me. Nobody ever listened to my heart. Nobody ever pressed on my stomach to check my fibroids. Nobody ever checked my neck or my glands to see if where my thyroid was is a problem. Nobody looked in my ears. Nobody listened to me breathe. Nobody asked me to apply pressure. They didn't touch to see if my legs or my fingers or any of the numb places were swollen. Mm-hmm. And that if people don't touch you, they don't care nothing about you.
That's right.
So what do I do? What's my next step?
I'm so sorry that happened to you. On behalf of the healthcare workers who care, I am so sorry that happened to you. It should never have happened. And the nurse who told you to Google it, she should be held responsible for that, as well as the physician. It looks to me like she just did not want to take the time to explain to you what that low white blood cell count means. What they should have done was offered more testing. That's what they should have done.
Mm-hmm.
They should have checked you out thoroughly. They should have done a proper physical with you, and they should have gotten your health history. That's first. Because if they would have gotten your health history, it would have told them some things that they should have looked out for.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have looked for those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the physician, when he got those numbers back, he would have talked to you about those numbers. And he would have ordered the more testing that he should have done. Instead of having you Google it when you get home. And then you see all the things that everybody else in the community sees when they Google low white blood cells.
Okay, and that's what's freaking me out right now, because I'm seeing cancer and lupus and autoimmune deficiency and HIV and tuberculosis and bone marrow. And so now my heart is racing. So if I ain't got bone marrow, hell, I'm going to have a heart attack looking up the symptoms. Most doctors tell you don't go on Google, come to the doctor. They leaving me to Google to figure out what's wrong with me when I'm sitting in the emergency room with a staff and team of healthcare workers and equipment that can try to help me figure out what's wrong.
Exactly. And I want to go on record of saying this. This is not a COVID-19 problem. Before everybody try to jump in and say, oh, the healthcare workers are overworked and they're understaffed, that is not what this is. This has consistently happened in minority communities, especially with black women. This is a problem in healthcare across the continuum. It is not a COVID-19 issue.
And this was not a COVID-19 hospital. I was the only one there. They were sending COVID patients somewhere else. They were saying, are you a COVID patient? Do you have respiratory situations? Is this happening? Is that happening? And if you were, they were directing you somewhere else. This was not a hospital that was seeing COVID patients. There was nobody there but me. I came right back. They weren't busy. They were not busy. I was very surprised. I was the only one in the lobby. And when I got back to that emergency room, I was one of maybe three patients.
With your symptoms, numbness, they should have called you right back immediately anyway, because your symptoms and what's going on with your body on the side, the way you described it, they should have called you back. They should have checked for heart problems, heart murmur. It could have been anything, because a lot of times African-American women, black women, we don't show symptoms of a heart attack like normal symptoms that are put in the book. Sometimes it could be nausea, vomiting, or those pains. They should have been looking at that, brought you back, and they should have done a full physical on you. Going to the emergency room is not a choice, especially like you said, you have four children at home, you have your father-in-law and your husband. Why would you risk bringing all those microorganisms back to your home just to go and sit up there, have someone give you attention? No, you went there because you needed their help, mm-hmm. and they need to be held accountable for this. And the Joint Commission needs to know about it, and the hospital accreditation needs to know about it, and the medical board needs to know about it, because they don't have the right to treat anyone like that. I'm an advocate. I'm an advocate for you, and I'm an advocate for women. I'm an advocate for anyone who experiences health disparities, and that's exactly what this is. They did not care, and they did not take the time to do what they were supposed to do, because they just didn't want to do it.
No.
They were being lazy.
That's what I felt. I felt like they were just like, you know, oh, well, you know, and listen, I have a primary care doctor. You know, I have an appointment with her on Thursday. You know,
okay.
And that was already made. You know, I'm not coming to the emergency room as my primary care doctor, you know, whenever
mm-hmm.
there's a problem. I had a
mm-hmm.
problem. I had an appointment. You know,
mm-hmm.
she gave me some medicine in the meantime until she was able to see me. However, when I wake up and my lip is quivering and my
yeah.
face is tingling and my fingers feel like somebody put tight rubber bands around them, and I need to, you know, wake my whole body up before I can move, I think it's time to see somebody urgently, which is why I went to the, you know, emergency room
emergency
at this particular
room.
Hospital. Not because I needed regular care, but because
right.
I needed urgent care. And I didn't get, not only did I not get regular care, I didn't get any care.
I'm so frustrated. I'm so frustrated. As a member of the medical community, the healthcare community, I'm so frustrated. There's no excuse for it.
Okay, so what's next? What do I do? Who do I call? Where do I go to say, this happened to me, and I don't want it to happen to anybody else? You know, in the meantime, I'm going to follow up with my doctor, and I'm going to make sure that I get whatever tests I need to get, and you're going to advise me on this whole low white blood cell count situation. But what do I need to do to make sure the next sister who comes in the door behind me isn't treated like this? And then she walks out of the door and dies.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, I'm so glad that you're going to do your follow-up immediately, and we will talk about that, because that's first. Your health is first. But by way of getting this information out, they got the right person today, because you have a platform. Not only that, you know who to contact. I'm going to let you know. The Joint Commission of Hospital Accreditation, we can contact them. We're
okay.
going to contact the medical board. We're going to contact the Board of Nursing in your state,
mm-hmm.
medical board in your state,
mm-hmm.
and the Association for Hospital Accreditation. There are several agencies that we can contact, and you don't have to worry about getting their information, because I already have it, because I'm a quality nurse. And this is why I'm a quality nurse, because I've seen too many mistakes happen in the hospital. I've seen too many things happen with my own family members, and it's just time out for it. If someone doesn't want to work, they don't need to be there. She can Google the one as for a position, because she didn't want to be there to help you. She didn't want to be there to serve you. She don't need to. She can give the job to someone who wants to do it. There's plenty of people in healthcare who absolutely love taking care of patients. We want to be there for you. We want you to have a good experience in the emergency room. We want you to have a good experience when you see your primary care physician. And a patient like you is someone I would love to have, because you have a primary care physician. You're not coming to the ER using it as a primary care doctor's office, because I've worked in the ER as well, and I've seen that. I've seen the both sides of it. But you know your medical history.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't even asked. You weren't given a
mm-hmm.
chance.
Mm-hmm.
You were set up for failure from the moment you walked in, when they didn't even ask you your medical history. But we're going to move forward, and we're going to report this to those it needs to be reported to. That's what we're going to do. And I'm so glad that you're taking that you're taking priority of your health care and you're speaking with your doctor and getting this taken care of as soon as possible.
Okay.
Because your health comes first.
Yeah. And I love you. Thank you for your support. It's just so frustrating because you're like, you know what? You know, maybe I am the crazy lady. Maybe I'm nuts. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's not everybody else. Maybe it is me. Maybe I'm, in, you know, doing something wrong. Or, you know, so you go in there and everybody's telling you to go home and take these painkillers. But then on the way out, you get a low white blood cell count and somebody tells you to Google.
After raising the alarm, do you realize the nurse raised the alarm on that for you? Your white cell count? Did he talk to you about it? Did the doctor talk to you about it? Did the doctor talk to you about it? And then, you know what she realized? She said, uh-oh, open mouth, insert foot. Uh-oh, I've opened this door that obviously the physician didn't want to open it. That's why he didn't say it. But he sworn an oath, do no harm, and she did too. So do no harm means do no harm. That means let me treat you while you're here. Let me not send you outside to die. Let me not send you outside of my ER to drop dead because I don't care enough about you to take care of you.
Mm. Well, sis, I'm going to follow up. And next week we're going to report back to our listeners exactly what happened. And the fight is not over. So whatever's wrong with me, we're going to figure that out. And we're also going to figure out whatever the hell is wrong with that hospital and why they're treating black women the way they're doing. And in the meantime, we're going to be praying. Girl, look, Jesus is going to have to fix it. He's on the main line because apparently the doctors ain't going to fix it. Jesus is going to have to work it out for my good.
You are covered in the blood.
Oh, I know. Thank you for your prayers. I love you.
I love you too.
All right. Thank y'all. We sorry we ain't laughing with y'all this week. We getting serious and we going to let them have it. That's what we doing is let them have it with Letta and Darcia. Okay. We'll see y'all next time.
That girl is crazy, in a good way. To check out previous episodes, log on to her website, SheLettaMakesMeLaugh.com. You can also check out where she's appearing next and score cool merch.